All right. Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day here in Littleton, Colorado. It's June 11th, 2023. So today I want to teach on the Trinity. I ran into something on Facebook where somebody was posting these teachings, these recorded teachings, and they go, "What?" And they'd say, "Oh, this is great teaching. This guy's really exposing devil spirits and stuff." And somebody goes, "Is that Craig Martindale?" And I guess he's still teaching. He's got people following him. And so, if somebody wants to follow him, that's fine. But I warned people. I said, "You do remember he's the same guy that had sex with over 300 women and was filming it and doing two and three at a time." And the guy's got a sex addiction. When people have an addiction, that's a devil spirit. And when people have that devil spirit, it quite often is multiple spirits come along with it. And so I was warning people, I said, "I don't think I would be following this guy with his sex addiction as my source of truth. I don't think that's a good idea for people to follow that." And people were saying, "Well, you can't speak against the man of God. You'll lose your rewards and all this stuff." And I said, "No, that's false doctrine." I said, "People have to watch who they follow." And there's a thing in Timothy where there's minimum qualifications of people that are ordained. And one of the qualifications is that a man should be faithful to his one wife. And if a minister doesn't meet that qualification, then you shouldn't be following that person. But that's my two cents, and that's also what the word says. But anyway, today I want to get into a little bit about the Trinity. But before we do that, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. This is a little bit about the mystery. There was a great mystery in the Bible, and this mystery was hidden. And I remember I had a friend of mine that was talking about this, and he was talking about, "Oh, it's so hard to understand the mystery." Well, no, the mystery isn't, it's not a mystery in the sense that it's hard to figure out. It's not like Inspector Clouseau and Pink Panther trying to solve this murder. It's not like Sherlock Holmes, and only Sherlock Holmes can figure it out. No, the mystery is actually very simple. It's just that nobody knew it because it was hidden. And it was so here's the simple truth of the ministry, of the mystery. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, but of the princes of this world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So before the world even began, God called us. That's part of the mystery, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, this mystery was so powerful. The truth of this mystery was so powerful that Satan didn't know what was going on. And he had Jesus Christ killed, after he had him killed and he was raised, and it was available for us to get born again and have Christ in us, that Satan figures, "Oh boy, I made a big mistake. I messed that one up badly."
Jeff, what scripture was that?
That was 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 8.
Thank you.
And then in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7. I did say at 2 Thessalonians, not first. So 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it also talks about a mystery. There's more than one mystery in the Word of God. There's also the mystery of iniquity, which is already at work, it says here. And so that means there's things that the devil's doing that he had hidden that he's trying to do. So that's what a mystery is. It's something that was hidden, something that people don't know about. So let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way here. You can flip past Timothy real easy. It's a little short book. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm in 2 Timothy. That's why it looks wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them that would believe and know the truth." So God created these things, but here it's talking about stuff. Basically, this section in Timothy, it's prophecy of the coming of the Roman Catholic Church. They don't allow their priests to marry. You can't eat meat on Friday, and somehow fish is not meat. All that stuff. And also part of the Roman Catholic doctrine, that's where we get the Trinity. I'm going to be showing you that in a little bit, but we're not there yet. Let's go. We're still talking a little bit about what it's talking about in Timothy. That's part of the Roman Catholic and all that stuff, the latter times. That's talking about the mystery of iniquity a little bit. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And starting in verse 3 in chapter 3. And here Paul lays out what the mystery is. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you'll understand my knowledge, which is the mystery in Christ, that in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. The reason it was a mystery, it was hidden. It was not made known. As now it is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And in verse 6, this is the most concise, clear definition of what the mystery was. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we're fellow heirs. Basically, let's get a little expansion on that. Let's go over to Colossians. So flip a few pages over. Got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. And here's a verse that we've all heard multiple times, but we got to keep reading it because we can't forget this stuff. Like we were talking about earlier in the prayer session, we don't want to forget all his benefits. And what was it? 1:26 and 27. And okay. Diane said something about, we don't even know all his benefits.
Right.
None of us know all his benefits, but we try to remember some of them. Here's one of the great benefits. 1:26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation is now made manifest unto his saints. In other words, it's laid out for everybody to see. You know, there's a lot of things that were happening in our country that everybody used to call conspiracy theories. And I saw something on YouTube and said, I think I'm going to change. I just no longer identify as a conspiracy theorist. I now identify as somebody that's just right all along.
James Woods wrote that.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, and so this, in the Old Testament, they knew something would happen with the Gentiles, and they didn't know what it was going to be. And to whom, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's why the devil, if he had it to do over again, he would never have crucified Jesus Christ. Because now everybody that's listening to this, everywhere you have a Christian, everywhere in the entire world, we have somebody that can walk with the same power as Jesus Christ. We can go, we can heal the sick, we can give the blind sight, we can raise the dead, we can back down the devil, we can do what Christ did. Each one of us has the power. And so the devil, he can't go back. You know, it's like Diane and I, we sometimes watch these science fiction TV shows, and these science fiction TV shows, they always talk about alternate realities or time travel. And, you know, well, there's a reason why it's called science fiction, because it's not true. It's fiction. And the devil, if he could go, if he could time travel, he would go back and not kill Jesus Christ, because he could. But since he can't do that, he's got to do something. So what is he going to do to stop people walking in the power of Christ? He somehow has to talk them out of it. And one of the great ways he does it is he gets his people. You see it in the Bible where Jesus Christ, when he was walking, that the religious leaders were quite often seed of the serpent. Jesus said to him, "You're of your father, the devil. You're a whited sepulcher. You're an open grave. You all look pretty on the outside, but on the inside it's death. It's like a rotting dead body inside. When they open their mouth, just sewage comes out, you know, instead of the truth. Instead of something beautiful, it's something evil." So the devil figured, you know, let's muddy the waters here, because it's really, this mystery was really simple, and it's really powerful, and these people, when they walk in the power of Christ, God and Christ in them, they're kicking my butt left and right. I'm just, you know, it's like you go to a football game, and you're losing 72-0, and it's not even halftime yet. And so the devil, he had to do something to stop this stuff. So he said, you know, I'm going to muddy the water, and I'm going to make it really confusing who Jesus Christ is and who God is. I'm going to set up this thing. We're going to say God is a Trinity. He's you know, it's got three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, and they're, Jesus was Jesus, but he was also God. God was God, but he was also Jesus. And then the whole part about the Holy Spirit, that's even more confusing than all the rest of it. And we're just going to set this up, and so people won't know what the power they have in Christ. So he starts teaching, you know, they came up, and it took him a few hundred years to really establish this, because you don't see the word Trinity in the Bible anywhere. You don't see anywhere where it says co-equal, co-eternal. You don't see anywhere where it says God the Son. It says Son of God, not God the Son. And it's just all laid out. And but he established this thing called the Roman Catholic Church, where he was able to carry out what we saw in Timothy, where, you know, they departed from the faith and they had doctrines of devils, and they commanded to, you know, the priests weren't commanded, they couldn't marry and they couldn't have meat on Fridays and you couldn't do this, and basically you pray to saints, pray to dead people, and they basically tell you you have to go out and earn salvation that you already have, and they muddy the waters. But yet there's these clear verses. What does it say in John here? Chapter 1, verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. Well, you know, a lot of people saw Jesus. He walked on the face of the earth. thousands of people saw him, but no man's ever seen God. You know, and the truth is simple. It's clear. James chapter 1, verse 13.
James 1:13?
Yep, James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. That's another great truth. God doesn't tempt you. One of the names for the devil is the tempter. He's the one that tempts us. What was that? That old comedian from back from the 60s and 70s? Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. The devil made... Well, there's some truth to that. Sometimes when you do something bad, the devil tempted you and tricked you into doing it. So, it says God, you know, God doesn't... He's not tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with any evil, neither tempteth he any man. Let's flip back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Giving my fingers a workout here, flipping all these pages. Gonna have strong fingers. 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So it says God can't be tempted, and it says Jesus Christ was not only tempted, he was tempted in everything. So you can't, they can't be the same. Those two are mutually exclusive. So let's go to the next one. Matthew chapter 16. This one, I love this one. I was going to write down the definition of the Trinity and read it, but it's not always even defined the same.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And if you look, I have a book, I have a lot of research books downstairs. We're going to go to Matthew 16, and we're going to start in verse 13 here in a minute. And one of the books I have is I have the Catholic Dictionary, a big fat book. I mean, it's like, it's fatter than the regular English dictionary. And it's got all this stuff. I mean, it got a really complex religion. And it's interesting, we were talking to one of our family members, and there was a recovering Catholic, somebody that had bailed on the Catholic religion and decided that it was not biblical. And a lot of the things that they do in the Catholic religion aren't biblical. And one of them, the Trinity is a Catholic doctrine. It's not a biblical doctrine. Yet, a lot of Protestant churches line up with the Catholics on many points. They're still following the Catholic doctrine. And this is not a biblical doctrine. It is a Catholic doctrine. So we're going to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And I'm on the wrong page. And verse 13, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, "Hey, who do they say I am? You know?" And verse 14, they said, "Oh, they say you're the third part of the Holy Trinity, that you're co-equal with the co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and that you're made of the same substance." And they quote the Council of Nicaea, and all, no, they didn't say that. Nobody even thought of that, because it took the devil, it took him a long time to develop this lie and put it in place. And I used to think that the things of God took a long time to develop, and that the things of the evil would just happen overnight. Like, you know, it'd take God years, centuries to grow this huge tree. And the devil would come in one night and cut it down with a chainsaw. Well, quite often it's the opposite. The devil has these plans, these things. He builds this stuff for decades and decades. It's like in the Old Testament where Haman had all this set up where he was going to kill the the children of Israel. And then overnight, the king made a decree which let the children of Israel defend themselves. And next thing you know, Haman was hanging on the gallows he meant to kill Jews on. He was hanging on it. And so here, this thing that the devil spent centuries and centuries setting up, this doctrine of the Holy Trinity, we can knock it down in a few minutes with just, you can sit down with somebody and show them what the word says. He said, you don't have to follow the Pope. The Pope is a freaking child molester. Remember I was talking about that other minister that had a sex addiction? The Catholic Church, everywhere they go, they have these priests that are child molesters. It's an evil, corrupt organization. It's like a ship that goes through the ocean, and the wake they leave is damaged lives. Everywhere they go, they damage children, they damage adults, they make people teach for doctrine the commandments of men when they should be teaching truth. They're leading people. They have the keys to the kingdom, and yet they don't enter in, and they hinder us from entering in. Well, we can rebuke that. We can stop that. And so what did they say here, verse 14? They said, some said you're John the Baptist. Some said you're Elijah. They thought Elijah was raised from the dead and was walking again. You know, Elijah was great, man. In the Old Testament, the prophets of Baal, you know, they're jumping up and down on the altar trying to get fire from heaven to come down. And Elijah's just sitting over there, and you know, he's sipping his little cup of tea, you know. Saying, hey guys, what's the matter with your God? He's not answering. You know what? He's sleeping. If you yell a little louder, maybe you'll wake him up. Or you know what? He's overusing the porta potty over there. That's what. He had a party last night. He was out too long. He's got a hangover. You know, it's just going to take a while for him to show up and do his. And he starts mocking him. And we can do that, you know. And like the one person was telling me that for me, warning people not to follow that minister that had the sex addiction, that I could lose my rewards, and I was sinning because that man was at one point ordained of God, and I was sinning. I'd be sinning if I didn't warn people about that. I'd be sinning if I wasn't warning you about the Catholic Church. I'd be sinning if I wasn't telling you the truth. That would be the sin. And that whole thing about losing your rewards, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. Don't believe that crap. And verse 15, and he said unto them, he said, okay, well, that's what they thought I was. He said, who do you guys say I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the third part of the Holy Trinity. You're God Almighty. Oh, my goodness. You're God the Son. No, he said, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hasn't shown you this, but my heavenly Father which is in heaven. He got that by revelation. And he was blessed that God was working in Simon's heart and showing him things.
And if Jesus came to reveal truth, he would have rebuked Peter and said, no, I am God the Son. But Jesus Christ never said that.
And let's flip over verse chapter 17, verse 5. This is where they were up on the mountain Transfiguration, and he took three of the apostles up with him, and went, you know, and the latter part of that verse said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know, if it was the Trinity, then God would have said, this is the third part of the Holy Trinity. We're co-equal, co-eternal, and co-confusing. It's just, it's a great mystery. Take it on faith, brethren. You know, the great things of God are always simple. Let's go to John chapter 10. This is just a great section of scripture here. John chapter 10. I'm doing pretty good on time. Looks like I'll be able to get all my scriptures in and not go over. I remember years ago when I was teaching at somebody's church and ministry in Ohio there, and I had this list of scriptures, and I'd got about 15% of the way through, and the guy in the back was flashing the 5 minute sign. Like, I had 5 minutes left, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to finish all this. But I've learned how to do this a little better through the years. So John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth by the door of the shepherd..."
Not by the door.
Oh, not by the door. Thank you. "Not by the door of the sheepfold, climbeth up by some other way, and is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd to the sheep." And let's skip a couple verses here. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He also says another place, "I am the way." We'll read that in a minute. We're going to get to that one, where he talks about how he's the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say here, I am the God Almighty, I'm the third person of the Holy Trinity. No, he said, "I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go out and find pasture." In other words, we find rest. God gives us what we need. Jesus Christ is the way to God. And when we go through Jesus Christ to get to God, then we have full access, as we'll see in a minute. I'm going to show you in a verse. In verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He comes to give you... The thief doesn't want the Bible to be clear. He doesn't want it to be make sense. He wants to muddy the waters. He wants it so that when we look at trying to figure out who Jesus is, we get confused. And we go to a priest to ask, "I'm confused, help me." And he said, "Well, it's a mystery. We don't understand it. We just take it on faith." Well, these verses, you don't have to take them on faith. They're simple. And they're true. The thief, the devil, he's got three things he does. This is the only three things he does. This is all he does. Everything he does fits into these three categories. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. That's all he does. And Jesus Christ, he came for a real simple reason. Came to make clear the Trinity. No. That we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. All right, let's go to John chapter 14, just over a couple pages here. John 14. Let's look at verse 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the third part of the Holy Trinity, and you must take this on faith, because it's a mystery, folks." "No," said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We don't get saved through Buddha. We don't get saved through Muhammad. But you know what's really cool is there's a time coming where... Well, first of all, when the end times comes, the first thing that's going to happen is we're just going to be gathered together. We're going to meet him in the air, and it's going to be great. And then everybody else that ever lived, the people in the Old Testament will be judged, and there'll be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Everybody that ever lived. So if somebody lived down in, was an Aborigine in, Australia, and they never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to get a chance to hear it. God is a just God. Everybody will get a chance to hear it. And people that were all confused by the Roman Catholic Church, and maybe never got born again, they'll get a chance to hear the simple truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Verse 12, or 11, 11 first. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, he didn't say believe that I am the Father. He said believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. There's a big difference there. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, if you believe the Trinity, this power is ripped away from you, because there's no way you can do the works of God. We can't create the heavens and the earth. We can't do the works of God. And verse, and what does it say, the rest of this verse? And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. See, we can lead people into the new birth. We can speak in tongues. We can do things that even Jesus Christ couldn't do. But if he's God, that makes no sense at all. Then you just got to throw that verse, and it's just a mystery. Oh, we got to take it on faith. It doesn't make any sense. Verse 28. Here's a slam dunk. You know, it's like you're playing basketball out in the courtyard there, and you make a move on the other guy, and you take the ball and you just jam it down in the basket. That's what Jesus Christ did here to the devil with this verse. In the latter part, at the end of this verse, it says, "For my Father is greater than I." They're not co-equal. They're not co-eternal. The Father is greater. So that right there, that verse alone will shoot down the Trinity. So let's go to Ephesians. So that's what Satan put in place, and the reason he put that in place is he didn't want people to walk what it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we all were before we came to Christ. But now, in Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, and hath made both one. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. See, the Jews now have something better available to them than the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were servants. In the New Testament, they can be sons. And in the Gentiles, the best we could do is we could be like the Phoenician woman. We could be dogs at the table begging for crumbs. You know, it's interesting. I looked up the word worship about 6 months ago. And the root of the word worship is to basically come to God and beg like a dog. And that's why I don't do a worship service, because we don't come to God and beg. Now, when you first are coming to get born again, you come to the Lord Jesus, and we come to God because we're not worthy. And because we're not worthy, we ask God, we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, and we ask God to be born again, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, and But then, we don't beg for the crumbs at the table like the Phoenician woman. We walk with the power of God. We can stand as a son of God. We're equal to Jesus Christ in many categories. In some categories, he's still above us because he was the first. He was the example. But in many categories, we're equal to Christ. And had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and hath abolished Let's see, what did I want to read here? I wanted to, yeah. Verse 18. And through him we both have access unto the Father. And because of what Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, this is talking about all the middle wall of partition. In the Old Testament, you had the temple. And it's, they had all these festivals they had to go to. And you go to the temple. And the Jews were allowed into a certain area. They had an outer court, which was the court of the Gentiles. There was a wall of partition. The Gentiles could not enter into where the Jews were. The Jews could not enter into where the high priest was. And the high priest could only go to God on certain days. If he went in the wrong time, God could strike him dead because he'd be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That was the restriction and the access to God in the Old Testament under the law. But the middle wall, that's all been abolished. And remember when he was crucified, it says the curtain was torn from the top down. We now have full access to God all the time because of what Christ did. See, that's why the devil has to take things like the Trinity or things like the doctrine of, what's that? They go to, what do Catholics go to before they go to heaven?
Purgatory.
Purgatory, yeah. They make up all these things and you got to pay the priest to get your relatives in there. No. We have full access. You can just get up in the morning and you can talk to God before you even put your slippers on and go get your cup of coffee. Somebody's phone's beeping. I think, Maria, you got to mute. I think your car, you're beeping or something.
It's raining and I'm getting wet.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, good. You need the rain. Father, give Ohio an abundance of rain. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, we have full access. Now, therefore, verse 19, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See, we're the household, we're the family. We live with God. God lives with us. So that's what the devil was trying to do. So let's go one more scripture. 2 Timothy. Here's another one we all know from many years ago and we've heard many times. 2 Timothy 2:15. And the first word here is study. Most, pretty much all translations that are not English do not translate this word study. And even about half of the English translations don't translate this word study. It's basically we're to exert effort to be efficient, is more instead of studying. To show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every person is responsible in their life to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to say, now, do I believe this Catholic doctrine that's confusing, that just we got to take it on faith, and it said they're co-equal, co-eternal, that my God has three heads and has a multiple personality disorder? Or are we going to believe the simple truth that God is the Father, Jesus Christ is the Son, and he gives us the gift of Holy Spirit so we can walk and have access to him? The second one's simple. The second one's biblical. But see, every person is responsible to rightly divide the Bible for themselves. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to know the Pig Latin text. You don't have to know the Greek text and the Aramaic text. You need to know a few simple truths. Most of the Bible is simple until we let the intellectuals go in and make it complex and confusing. But most of it is just really, you can just, even in King James, as poorly translated as that is, it still makes sense and it's still truth. So we have to decide, are we just going to follow somebody? And a lot of these guys, you look in Jesus Christ time, a lot of these guys, he said, you guys have the keys to the kingdom. You won't enter in, and you hinder people from entering in. And then other times he says, you're of your father, the devil. We don't want to be taking our teaching, getting our religious doctrine from people like that. You don't have to go to a big mega church with some guy that's a multimillionaire and having sex with all these different women that's up there, you know, preaching, oh, look how smart he is. You don't got to be smart to believe the Bible, but you got to be stupid to not believe it. How's that for a conundrum? But, you know, truth is simple, and the doctrine of the Trinity is not simple. So I'm going to have a word of prayer here to end this, and then we'll talk amongst ourselves for a little bit, and then we're going to have some hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill before our afternoon, daily afternoon rain comes here in Colorado. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for the truth of your word. And thank you for the simple truth that God, you are the Father, and Jesus Christ is the Son, and that we have the gift of Holy Spirit. That way it's God in Christ in us, and it's real simple, and it's real powerful. And we can rebuke the devil, and we can rebuke the devil's messengers. And you give us eternal life. You give us eternal rewards when we walk with you. And Father, I just thank you for the great simplicity of this in the name of Jesus Christ.